I was thinking because of Christmas, and I was thinking about presents and gifts. Everybody's giving gifts. I was thinking I'd share a little on the ultimate gift that God gave. So turn to Matthew. We'll spend a few little time in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 3. One and two, this is John the Baptist. He was basically, we know, he was sent kind of to clear the way for Jesus Christ and announce, you know, who was coming, the Messiah. So verse one, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in verse 5, it says, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So that's what he did. He was baptizing everybody, and that was like the you see that today, right, in churches. 20, I don't know what the exact year is, was it?
2024.
Yes. 2024, they're still baptizing with water, which doesn't hurt anything, but there's something bigger. And in verse 11, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So something bigger was to come. And we know Holy Ghost is, or Holy Spirit, pneumahagion. Now turn to Luke, chapter 24. We don't have to go here, but verses at the beginning of Luke, this is after Jesus Christ was crucified and buried, and now they, in verse 1 through 3, they come, they see he's not there, then he appears, and he's, no one recognizes him, a lot of people don't believe it's him. And then you get to verse 44, near the end, before he ascends, departs, in verse 44, it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms and concerning me. Then opened he their understanding," because all the things that was coming to pass, he basically told them. But they didn't have the faith in Jesus Christ. They kept doubting, you know. Nothing, no matter, even though he told them things, you know, it was like they were always, why did he have to die? You know, and he told them this was going to happen. And he told them this, and he told them that. But they just didn't be able to believe, you know. It was a hard thing, really. Where am I here? "Then opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So now we're seeing he's mentioning this promise that's coming, you know. 49. So now go to Mark chapter 16. And 19, verse 13. And again, this is still the same period of time when he was, after he was risen. And in verse 13 it says, that they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Again, they didn't. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So now he's like expanding, like, look, this is what's going to happen. You guys are going to... this promise is coming. You're going to, whoever believes, going to be baptized. Remember, John the Baptist was saying that it's going to be much greater. And these are the things that's going to happen. We've all seen some of these things, at least. Maybe not all of them. I mean, we didn't maybe take up any serpents. But I'm sure there's times we drank something that, you know, or laid hands on somebody, prayed for somebody, right? Speaking in tongues. I mean, so this stuff did happen. Here it is. 2024 years later, and this is still happening, and people are still preaching and speaking, and people are still getting baptized. So pretty cool, right? I mean, this is not like a little fad that you see going on in, like, you know, like in the country, you see these little trends and things, and then it kind of just disappears after a year or two. This is 2024 years later, and this stuff is still working, and it's still powerful, and the promise still exists until he returns. And then John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and in verse 16. Says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able abide with you forever. Even, I don't know if that word is actually there, but the Spirit of Truth, which whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Remember, Christ in you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christ in you. And where did I take this to? Verse 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Pretty cool stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. God sacrificed his Son, a perfect man that obeyed him perfectly, was the only perfect human on, you know, had to be a big deal, if you think about it, that God was willing to do that. Jesus Christ give up his life. And so we can have this gift of Holy Spirit, and how big it actually is. And we all know this is not stuff, nothing new. But, you know, it's not bad to refresh your mind of how big a deal it is. God is the biggest giver. You know, he gave his Son, and he gave us a great gift of Holy Spirit. And also, I'm sorry, I have a little side note here. Verse 26, 15, is that right? 15, 26? I don't think that's right. Yep. And 27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And in 16:33... This whole thing is so cool. I mean, every time I was like looking that one verse, my eye would catch another one, and I'm like, wait, should I? Oh, wait, you know what? I'm like, it's just unbelievable. This whole section is crazy. But in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he's in us, right? And I think 1 John, right? Is it 1 John?
4:4.
Yeah, 4:4, right? So, I mean, everything he is, you know, we are, because he's in us. So, and then look at Romans. Chapter 10. In verse 1, God never wants us to be ignorant, and he does, and not like us, but I just think of sometimes all the people who love God, but not according to his knowledge, or according to truth, or according to what God wants that person to know or to believe. There's millions and millions of people like that, that don't have the actual truth, like, according to God's. Their heart is right, they love God and everything, but God doesn't want that. He wants us to be informed so we could be, our life could be profitable. And we can make someone else's life profitable by speaking those things. So in chapter 10, brethren, in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Right? So they have this great excitement. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Think of works, right? Laws, law, the law, like people, the works, all the things they do, all trying to do this. Years and years and years and years of this. And God's saying, you don't even have to do that. Like, I don't even require that anymore. You know, it's like, so their heart may, they could be good people. There's a lot of good people, but it's not according to God's knowledge. And then if you look, you don't even have to really go there, but Jeremiah, you could go there. Just hold your finger here. Jeremiah chapter 2. If you don't put it, it's only one verse, you don't have to, because it's a pain, you know. Oh, I missed it. It was actually Hosea, but that's okay. Go to Jeremiah chapter 2. I have to go to Hosea 2. That's the one that's a pain to find. Jeremiah 72. Yeah, we know this verse. This is like the PFL stuff. And in chapter 2, verse 13, right, it says, for my people committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out own cisterns, broken cisterns that could hold more water. And in Hosea 4, again, you don't necessarily have to go there. It's a pain to find. Unless you're John, he could find that without even looking. Right, John? You can find Hosea like this. You just know he goes like this. He finds this. He knows the thickness. You have it? Yeah. What does it say? 4:6.
Hold on. Okay, 4:6?
Yeah. 4:6.
It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you shall be no priest to me.
No, that's it. Just 4:6.
No, that's what it says.
Oh, it is?
I'm just halfway through.
Oh, I usually only read the first. I was just looking at my people were destroyed. We always read the half.
All right.
But that's it, John. Thanks. It's going to be a long day, you know. Go back to Romans. But the point is, you know, it's not God's heart. Why would God ever want his people to be destroyed? He wants people to know him. He wants people to get baptized. He wants to give. He did all this with his son so people can live and have eternal life, all these things. But, you know, you see how it's happened over time and time again, and still happens today, that people don't have the right knowledge, you know, or the right information, or it happens to all of us. It happens to us even here and there, you know, just things we forgot. See? But in verse 4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law. Wait, did I just... 4 through... Yeah, so... Actually, we could skip that. But anyway, then you go to where now it's available in verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever, the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Is that disappointed, the word?
Mm-hmm.
It is, right? For there's no difference. And then it says, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Promise from God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing stuff. And then in... Acts chapter 2.
Acts chapter
2. 2 verse 1 through 4. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost fully came, they were all with one accord and one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So all this stuff they, you know, was talked about, now you're seeing Jesus Christ is God, right? Now people are receiving his Spirit and speaking in tongues and getting filled with power and boldness, right? Because if you keep reading, you see how bold they became all of a sudden, the fear. These are all the things that this comforter, you know, that God promised and Jesus Christ talked about, you know, to really just to bless us. And, you know, it was a great thing. They waited many years for this to happen. And eternal life. And in verse 32, verse 38 and 39, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive lambano. Remember that word? Lambano. It's Italian, is it? No, it's not. It's, what is it, Greek?
Greek.
Sounds Italian. receive the gift of Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Available to all people, this gift, the ultimate gift that God promised. And then, real quick, 2 Timothy, well, you don't have to go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. John, you have that memorized. We all do. What does it say?
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Pretty cool, right? Power that they talked about. And hasn't given us the spirit of fear. We don't have to have fear or be afraid of anything, right? We could drink deadly things. No, I don't. Let's not do that. But if it happened, you know, right? There's a good chance we could be, possibly. Okay, if God forbid it happened, by accident. But Ephesians No, actually, yeah, go to... actually, go to Romans 6, 23. So they, God talked about, it was talked about, then it happened, it was promised. We've seen it happen, and that part of that is the eternal life. And in verse 23 of chapter 6, which I'm right there. Is anybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that say, verse 23?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah, so we have eternal life. We have that promise of his second coming, right? Which will be great. That's a promise of God that we are going to live eternally. And it's going to be a lot even better than this, a lot better than this. You know, be no tribulation and no pain and suffering. The things that happen that we see all the time. And close right here in, well, yeah, so Ephesians 1. What was that? Ephesians 1. So all that, you know, we all know Ephesians is, we used to call it back in the day the Breakfast of Champions. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that, right, Lord? When we was that a Rutherford thing, or was that like a ministry thing? Yeah, the Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah. Right?
So anyway.
Instead of Wheaties.
Yeah. Where am I here? Where am I going? Yeah, so Ephesians, so we got this Holy Spirit. We got the Comforter, the gift of eternal life. We're filled with this power, right? We could cast out, well, actually, there was a part where I didn't go to. It was also about another, actually, I did write it down. I don't know why I didn't go to. But anyway, we know. Corinthians 12, when it talks about the manifestations, in verse 1 and 2, I think it talks about he doesn't want us to be ignorant, right? And being led away by dumb idols. So God always wants us to be informed. Right? He always wants us to know. He wants all people. And especially if you're obviously the household of God or a Christian, you know, we didn't want us praying to statues, you know, or whatever else people do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause why? There's no profit in it. You're not going to see the results that he wants us to have. You know, he wants us to be profitable in all of our life. But in Ephesians, here's some, like, you know, just a few things and then we'll close. But verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, because I was thinking a lot of these words, you'll see, have and hath. Before it was shall, because it was like the, you know, getting... God's Spirit, I mean, getting baptized and being born again. You know, you see the word shall a lot, but in this, now it's have and hath. You know, things we already, that exist. Now that we have God's Spirit, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath... No, we're weird. It's just all of a sudden stands out like what you... hath made us accepted and the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed to himself, that in this dispensation of times, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained. So think about this. This is stuff we don't even have to get. We have it. So then how come sometimes you just don't feel like it, you know, right? You ever just not like feel like some of these things? Well, we already have it. We just have to tell our minds we have it, you know? And I was working with Hannah. Me and Lorraine were just helping Hannah out with some things going on with school and stuff, and just, you know, a little bit of a spiritual beatdown by the adversary with parents and kids and stuff in her class. And, you know, I think just like reminding her what she has, right, Laura? Wouldn't you say? Like, you're just telling her for just a few days of just pumping her with God's word of what she has and who she is, you know? Like, when she walks in that classroom, that's Christ walking in the classroom. These little punks, whatever they are, spiritually speak, I'm not, and I even said, this flesh, this isn't flesh and blood. It may look that way, but it's a spiritual war. It's Christ and whatever else is, you know. And, you know, I really believe, she didn't say she's thanks and this and that, but all her days have been better, and she feels better, and, you know, we have to see it that way, you know. It's Christ in us and God in us in everything we do. You know, and all these things, it says hath. It doesn't even say, hopefully we get it someday, or pray hard, and, you know, if you do enough of your whatever works, you know, you could possibly, you know, I think of the Old Testament versus this. Anyway, so purpose with him, work with all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard a word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, think about that. We're sealed. Zip it up. Right there. Sealed. We're not losing it. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. That's a lot. Anyway, let's just close right here. I wasn't going to do it, but now that we're here, I'm going to kind of move pretty quick. Wherefore also I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our... So we got all this stuff. Now he's like, I want you to see it and understand it. That's really what this is. Because he's not even saying that you get it, because they have it, right? He's saying you have it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the own right hand in heavenly places. And that, you know, this is the first time when I read that. I don't know why. I've probably seen it a million times, but I never really thought. If you look at 19 and 20, it says that exceeding power, what is that exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and that's that same power that, right? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You know? So, I mean, we're fully loaded. Fully loaded. You know? And we can do what we want with it. We can do nothing, right? Which I do most of the time. I mean, honestly, if you think of what he gave us, you know, I'm using this much. So maybe I can go that far next time. It just, you know, but it's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, that's it.